busload of cheerleaders.
A busload of cheerleaders?
A busload of cheerleaders would get me back to full power.
Do you mean female cheerleaders?
You don't make it a sexual thing.
No, no, I did not say it was.
You know it's not their gender I'm concerned with. You know, I'll eat boys, I'll eat girls. It's the purity. It alone will bring me back to full power.
Hey guys, welcome back to Spooky Tuesday, a weekly podcast where we're breaking down all of our favorite slashers, thrillers, monster movies, and black comedies on the new scariest day of the week. I'm Sydney Thompson.
I'm Monica Height.
And I'm Chelsea Duff.
And today we get to talk about the world's most interesting man. Oh, it feels so good to talk about Nicolas Cage on the pod. I've been trying to get us to do Wicker Man for 1,000 years, but you know what? I can wait because this one's really fun too. We're doing the brand spanking new film Renfield this week. And I'm going to start it off by reading the IMDb tagline to just get it out of the way. Renfield, Dracula's henchman and inmate at the lunatic. What? I can't even read this. Dracula's henchman and inmate at the lunatic asylum for decades longs for a life away from the count, his various demands, and all the bloodshed that comes with them. What?
What an interesting logline, because what? Renfield is like a canonical character from the Dracula book.
Yeah.
And like, if you remember Bram Stoker's Dracula, I think he's the same guy who was like in The Thing. But he obviously is, they're not using that backstory in this particular movie. They don't show us anything with a lunatic asylum, which feels
lunatic
like,
asylum.
What a choice of words.
Like, I was like, did I miss a main part of this movie?
You missed the 30 minutes where he's like in the asylum and then
you
he has to like escape. Yeah. They just really breeze over that. I mean, I guess he's in the abandoned asylum, but I don't think that that is what IMDb is referring to.
That's so bizarre. Yeah, because he is like in the Dracula movie, he was like Dracula's henchman and then he was doing wild shit and then he got caught and he got put in the asylum. And that's where we see him like munching on bugs all the time. And in the movie, has cool glasses, has big curly hair. That's cool. You know, that's that guy. That's the guy we're talking about. But
you know what's interesting,
wow, okay,
though? Monica and I watched this together last night. And in the credits, there is what appears to be a dance scene or something. And they did film a dance scene and it was deleted. And Nicholas Holt like tweeted it out at one point. And so a bunch of people picked that up. But then he deleted the tweet, which is heartbreaking. Yeah, I wonder if he got in trouble for it, because I think he tweeted it like the day that the movie came out to be like, this is how it feels when the movie comes out. So maybe he was not supposed to do that. But I wonder if there was like a deleted scene with the quote unquote lunatic asylum that just maybe didn't make the final cut and they never updated their little logline pitch.
That is such a fuck up. I mean, it kind of makes sense for me with this movie because I feel like I had like a really good time with this movie, but Chelsea and I were talking about it and I was just like, I feel like there's like some aspects of it that like were weird. Like the writing was a little bit weird sometimes. And it just like that I felt like there was literally no what's it called? Chemistry between Nicholas Holt and Awkwafina. Love her, but I didn't believe it. You know what I mean? So another thing that they left out was remembering that they changed the whole plot of the movie.
On my cutting room floor. Yeah.
They just left the chemistry and the lunatic asylum on the cutting room floor.
Really sad, deleted scene where
you know
they
what they didn't leave out?
Tell us.
What?
A surprising amount of fake blood.
Oh my God.
It was way gorier than we were expecting. Yeah.
It was wonderfully gory. But I feel like it was mostly CGI blood. I don't know. I didn't research anything for this movie though, but it was giving a distinct CGI squirt look, kind of look. So sorry I said it like that.
Yeah, I didn't get that they used 70,000 gallons of fake blood in movie, and I think that was a missed opportunity.
I know.
Yeah.
I but there is like still some amazing makeup work in this movie, though they do use CGI most heavily, like the fucked up Dracula as he's coming to full power. I was very, 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 very into all of his makeup looks on the way. Very disturbing.
I don't know what it is, but Nicolas Cage's Dracula teeth bothered me.
It's because they look like they didn't, like, they were so obviously worn over his teeth. You know what I mean? They just were coming down a little too low, I think. Like, it looked like he was wearing fake teeth in his mouth. And I'm confident that there are other Hollywood productions that have pulled that off better.
Better.
Yeah, it was like Rami Malek in the Freddie Mercury movie, the Queen movie, where, like, you're like, his jaw's so big compared to his head, you know, and it's like, I get that he's was wearing the fake teeth because Freddie had iconic teeth, but like, again, we could have done this a little bit better, I think. I like it that he can like pass as a human and just be like a handsome devil, you know. I like that about Dracula, and I don't think anyone would believe that this guy has anything normal going on with him if all of his teeth are like serrated like little knives. It's a little alarming.
I wonder if he can disguise them when he wants to, though, because he can turn into a flurry of bats. So we know he has some transformative powers. Does he become Vapor at one point, or am I actually confusing that with something else that I watched recently?
No, remember, he vaporizes himself into that priest.
Yes, he can become a weird, spooky dust storm thing. Vapor.
Love that. Nasty. By the way, what a banger opening when he explodes the priest from inside out. Again,
that was so sick.
CGI. I feel like they use CGI for literally everything.
Yeah.
But because it's like kind of comic booky vibes, I don't think it like detracted too much that it was obviously CGI. Like, it felt kind of par for the course.
Yeah, I just think it would have been like a cool like nod to like such a classic story, because like Dracula is such a classic horror guy, you know. It would have been cool. I don't know. I just really prefer practical effects. I feel like they look better, or I appreciate them more because they're harder to do. Well, okay, CGI is hard too. It's just different hard. I'm not going to speak ill on CGI guys, okay? Okay, good job.
That said, there are a lot of references to like other Dracula productions, and they do some fun practical stuff. I'll share an article in the notes, but I mean, very notably, there's that like scene where Renfield's like, hold on a second, let me explain how we got here, and then it like changes the aspect ratio and they're like in black and white, and apparently
I loved that.
Yeah, that's really fun. But I think, could be wrong, my understanding from IMDb trivia is that they used like actual footage from the 1931 Dracula movie and like just digitally inserted Nick Cage and Nicholas Holt to Bela Lugosi's role and the other guy.
It looked so spot on. I haven't seen that movie. I've just seen clips from it, but it looks so spot on. So I believe that for sure.
But yeah, I think they use actual footage. Obviously, when he is at his weakest and in the movie, and he's like all, not, I guess not his weakest, because there is that one moment where he's like literally on fire. But when Renfield goes
when he's
to
on
the
fire, he looks
abandoned,
like the fire guy from SpongeBob. The guy who's like, chocolate. I need chocolate in the wheelchair. He looked exactly like that guy. You know what I'm talking about. Anyway, keep going.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. And I'll circle back to that in just a moment. But when he's in the abandoned hospital or whatever, and he's like all decrepit, and he's got his, everything's falling apart in his big floppy ears, that's very much giving like Nosferatu. When he is on fire, they did puppet work for that, apparently. Much like they've done a puppet work in Horror of Dracula, apparently. Actually, I'm just skimming that part, so I'm not sure if that's right. You can read it for yourself later. But they have like this silhouette work from Francis Ford Coppola's Dracula, aka Nick Cage's uncle, by the way.
Oh, fuck. Wow, it was faded.
Yeah.
Coppola, after all.
Nick Cage, the studios wanted Nick Cage to be Jonathan Harkness in Francis Ford Coppola's Bram Stoker's Dracula. And apparently they had worked together on Peggy Sue Gets Married, which I mentioned at the end of last week's episode when you were making us say our favorite Nick Cage movies on the spot. But they had a bad time working together. Ooh, apparently
it's hard to work with family.
It's hard to work with family, so it didn't work out for them, but thank God he got to play Dracula here because it's one of his lifelong goal roles. But there's just like a billion different.
He would have that on his fucking bucket list. Yeah. Love Nicolas Cage so much.
He has like three roles that he's always wanted to do were Dracula, Superman, and some other thing, something Nemo that I'd never heard of before. And I was like,
Finding Nemo.
Yeah, it's that one. No, just kidding.
I would pay money for a Nick Cage Superman movie. DC, you coward.
He was going to be in one, but then it like just didn't fully make it into production, and it got canceled basically. So sad.
Did we not see Kick-Ass?
Well, he's not Superman. He didn't say superpower person. He wanted to be Superman specifically, but he did voice Superman in Teen Titans Go to the Movies, which I didn't see but looked like fun. So he's got a little Superman under his belt.
Okay, I looked it up because that rang a bell when you said Nemo, and I think it's Captain Nemo from 2000 Leagues Under the Sea, which he would be great as. I think if they do a remake of 2000 Leagues Under the Sea, that is what he's talking about. Unless he wants to be Nemo from Finding Nemo.
I think he could pull it off.
He can do whatever he wants.
He clearly knows how to work with prosthetics. I think he could do like a really believable job of like being a tiny little fish with a lucky fin, you know?
Live action Finding Nemo. Starring Nick Cage.
Exactly. Cage Nemo. That's what Disney needs, more live action.
Yeah, I really agree because that's going really, really well for them. So it kind of is. Oh yeah, okay. I fact checked it, and that is what he was talking about. Nice. But anyway, I just love this man so much. I got to go to the premiere of Mandy, or I think it was the premiere or something. I don't know. He was there. All I know is that he was there, and it had just come out. And he did like an interview, and he's like everything you want him to be. Like he is. It's everything that you want. He's at like four rows in front of me too, so I just stared at the back of his head like half the movie. I watched the movie too, but I was like,
we mostly watched him. Sure.
My king. But he's just the best super freak ever. One day we should do The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent for a Fifth Tuesday. It would be so fun because that slaps so hard. He's self-aware. We love a self-aware king. Okay.
I do love when a celebrity plays himself. I think that's really fun.
And Pedro Pascal.
Yeah.
And Pedro Pascal's in it. Yeah.
So good. So good. But anyway, I mean, I also just love Nicholas Hoult too. He's such a freaking cutie. And he does well in little spooky things. Like, I liked him in Warm Bodies. It's been a long time, but I liked that.
he's also really funny.
Yeah. He's so funny. And I love his voice. I love his voice. Can say anything.
He's really good in The Great also, which is actually why I originally gave you my Hulu login, Monica, so you could watch The Great, if you'll recall.
Oh, well, I'm not giving it back. Thank you.
I'm an OG fan from Skins, UK.
Wow. Oh, I never watched that.
Again, it's like Euphoria. If you had a party teenagehood, it's so triggering.
It's traumatizing, I think.
So traumatizing. And I was like, the boys were not this cute during my party days.
Tragic. You should have been partying with actors, I guess.
I should have been.
Seriously. Had to get out on the scene.
Well, the guy's got fucking range. I mean, we just did The Menu, what, like 2 months ago? And he plays like the worst bitch imaginable that you want to die so bad. And now he plays a nice boy who does very bad things and you feel so bad for him. Range. Wow. Amazing. The highs and the lows.
It's called talent, sweetie. Look it up.
It's called talent, honey. And he looks really good, pale and like die-y too. Good for him.
He was like so washed out the whole film though. It just ran
a
little
for 100 years.
Yeah, I mean,
and he can't go in the sun.
No, he can go in the sun. That's part of the thing. He can go in the sun.
Yeah,
he's sitting out there
at
Cafe Du Monde eating a little beignet.
Yeah, but like, how long can he be in the sun? Like long enough to get a tan?
I think he can be in the sun long enough to be tan. I don't think he goes in the sun long enough to get tan. Yeah, do you know what I mean?
He's got to be up all night hanging out with Master.
Tan. Get a spray tan.
He has time for self-care, well, Sydney. That's the whole point in the movie.
We saw him at his little drag group, which fun that it was called a drag group. But we saw him there where they were like, have you ever heard of a brush, you little bitch ass bitch? Like, have you ever heard of modern day clothes? Like, what is going on with your whole look? So they did drag him appropriately.
Yeah, I did like the setup for this movie, the buy-in, that he like somehow stumbles into this like abusive relationship support group. And like, it's trying to take some agency back by having Dracula kill bad guys. Very Edward Cullen of him through the transitive property, I guess.
And his eyes literally going golden when he's like at peak power, just fed. I wonder if that is like from some sort of original vampire lore, if it's like in this also, because everybody made fun of it in Twilight. But maybe actually Stephanie Meyer did research. No, she didn't, but maybe she did.
They don't go into it in the book, the Dracula book, so I can't tell you anything, but okay. It could be from another text. There are other texts besides Bram Stoker's Dracula, which all of us are very diligently reading on the Dracula Daily.
Or Dracula Daily. Yes, yeah, we're all really on top of it, super caught up, not behind at all.
Yeah, I just read mine just now to get in the spirit. I read the first day. I did do that.
Good for you. You got further than I did. I will.
I like seeing it. I like seeing it come into my email. And then email. I feel a little bit guilty though.
I was like, right, how are we already on day 11?
There's already so many days. Yeah. I mean, what are you gonna do?
That's the thing about like life, the days just keep coming and coming, and
they don't Bram stop Stoker's coming. Dracula.
That's so true. I've heard that somewhere. Also, I just loved Ben Schwartz in this movie. Just loved Ben Schwartz in this movie. He is so good at playing a fucking like mama's boy or daddy's boy who's annoying. Like, this is very reminiscent of his Parks and Rec character
John Ralphio. Saperstein.
Yeah,
he's an icon. He always kills it, I think. Did either of you watch Jury Duty?
Yes.
Okay, good.
No.
Monica, you have to.
Oh my god, it's so fun.
Is it a show or a movie?
It's a show.
It's a TV show on
Amazon Prime.
On Amazon. And it's like, yes, I will spend time giving them a little shout out because it is very fun. Everybody should watch it. It's like The Truman Show, but it's a reality show where one guy thinks he's participating in a jury duty documentary, but everybody else is an actor and they're just being ridiculous for him, basically.
Wow. Okay.
It's so funny.
Awesome.
But anyway, James Marsden is there playing James Marsden, and Ronald, who's the real guy being himself, is talking to him about the Sonic movie and is like, oh my god, Ben Schwartz is in that. Like, so Ben Schwartz gets his shouts in that too. So that's fun, which that's was my amazing connection. But yeah, there are a lot of really good actors in this. The guy who is leading the support group, Brandon Scott Jones, he's really wonderful. He's great in the other two, and he's been in like a whole bunch of stuff.
He might be my favorite part of this movie.
He's really wonderful in it. Yeah.
He's so good in this.
And I think he was in, maybe not, I can't find it, but The Wonderful Life of Caleb Gallo as well. I think he had a bit in that. Did he? I don't know. What's his name again?
I have no
Brandon
idea.
Scott Jones. I mentioned that because that starred the guy who was in Megan, the other scientist. But it's a really funny, very gay little YouTube series. Maybe he wasn't in that. No, I just saw a clip of him with it. Well, nobody knows. Science isn't there yet.
Nobody knows. How can they know?
I thought that Carol looked familiar to me. She's the girl who keeps getting interrupted.
Hates herself. Yeah. Classic.
Yeah. And I was just looking at her IMDb and she was in Terrifier 2. So a little scream queen.
Oh, fun.
She is no novice when it comes to extreme gore. To be clear, I have not seen Terrifier 2. I am too scared for that.
Did you see Terrifier 1?
Maybe if we all, no, of course not. Maybe if we all watched it together
too,
and we held our hands. Oh, I didn't see that on here. When did Terrifier 1 come out? Long time ago.
2016.
Oh, yeah. She was in the Bye Bye Man, too. That's why she looks familiar. I've seen the Bye Bye Man. Can't recommend it. Sorry. I hated it so much. I watched it at like 1 a.m. Maybe that was part of it, but it made me furious.
Was it scary?
No.
Not even at 1 a.m.
It was pretty dumb. Sad. But we love her. But we love Jenna Kennel. Yeah, it's a very silly name. I have a lot of inside jokes about that movie, though. Anyway, we can talk about Renfield.
We'll circle back to it. Yeah, another time.
I can't get over Nikki in this. I just can't get over it. I mean, the focus is so not on him in this movie. It's so on Nicholas Hoult. And I'm like, yes, okay, fair. We've had enough movies where it's all about the vamp. But, like, I wish there was more. I wanted another monologue. I needed, like, three more insane, unhinged monologues from Nikki. Oh, God. He's so funny, and he took it so seriously, and he's so Nicolas Cage while being so Dracula. It was everything that I wanted. I just felt fulfilled.
I wanted to see more like Nicolas Cage and less cops.
I agree.
I don't remember the cop storylines being promoted in the trailer as much as they existed in this movie.
And I love Awkwafina, but I was just like, I wanted it to be more about like Dracula and Renfield, and then it became about this like revenge thing with the mob family and the dirty cops. And I was just like, I've seen Dracula for 10 minutes of this movie.
Yeah,
I need more of that. I need more.
Right. I want an hour of Dracula and Renfield shenanigans.
We didn't get enough shenanigans. How come the mind control thing was only used one time?
Exactly. I want more shenanigans.
I feel like they could have set up their relationship a little bit like more or longer. They just did that little flashback thing, which like you get the gist, like, you know. It's an abusive relationship. He is his literal servant.
I would have loved like flashbacks where it was like the 1970s and they're like dressed up in the 70s.
Yeah.
Like period piece, like flashbacks of them.
He told us like, we've done this a bazillion times in a bazillion different cities. Like we're running out of places to go. It would have been nice to get like a little montage moment.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, they're like, there were some good times that we had together too. Like they didn't show like
frolicking in flowers or something like that under like the moonlit sky. You know, they could have given us something.
Yeah. Something to show. I don't know. Yeah. I feel like they had gold here. They had Nicolas Cage as Dracula and Nicholas Hoult, the two Nicks that I love. And they could have
apparently they've played father son in another movie before together.
Which one?
I need to know.
The Weatherman, 2005.
What's that?
I have no idea.
Immediately Googling this.
A Chicago weatherman separated from his wife and children debates whether professional and personal success are mutually exclusive. Wow, sounds moving.
Oh, it has Michael Caine in it.
It came out the same year as Lord of War. Oh my God, stop. Oh no, it's the ant bully. I thought that this was telling me that Nicolas Cage was a voice in Ants. Remember that movie?
Yes, I love that movie.
But it's another movie called The Ant Bully, and that sounds terrible.
But still ant-like little bugs like Renfield eats in this movie?
Yes, it's a cartoon movie. It's a cartoon. So I was really hoping it would be ants, which is also disturbing. It's disturbing animation in that, but I still appreciate it. Oh, and that was in his golden era, too. He had just done Windtalkers and Adaptation and Matchstick Men, coming right off of National Treasure, going right into... He was in a movie called World Trade Center. I have not seen that. And then Wicker Man. And then... Wow. Don't tell me this. Okay. Wow. Okay, I have a lot of news. He did, this is his 2006 to 2007. The Wicker Man, Ghost Rider, and
I
then
love
he's
that one.
In Grindhouse, the double feature I've been trying to get y'all to fucking do.
You know I'm down to do that.
We're doing it. We're doing Grindhouse 2 weeks or Grindhouse 1 week. And we just, it's a 4 hour long episode where we talk about two movies. Oh, man. I'm so obsessed with him. I could just talk just about his vibe for 1,000 years. But anyway, we can talk about the movie. There's just so many cops. And like, they didn't, Chelsea, I don't want to take your thing, but talk about your feelings about the sister relationship. Because you said this to me last night.
It was lacking. I mean, there just wasn't a lot there. They like gave the setup for the background that we needed. Like, I'm mad about dad's death too. And so we know, like, they both went into law enforcement because they idolized their father and now their father's dead and it was at the hands of the crime family and now they're both after the crime family. And like, they're at each other's throats, and they're going about it different ways. And then there's the what scene at Cafe Du Monde where she's like, and I called my sister a twat. But like, that's everything we get from them. And then it's like such a pivotal point of the movie where like near the end, Dracula is trying to get Awkwafina to come to his side. And it's like, your sister's dead. I could bring her back. And like, obviously we know that she wants that, but we as the audience have not been put in a position to like feel what that means to her to lose her sister. And I just, you know, it could have been easily accomplished with even like one more scene or like talking more about her sister with Nicholas Holt even or something. But they just didn't give us everything. Between them was so procedural and was so related to the case and so not at all about their relationship that for their relationship to be the driving factor, I didn't find it like compelling enough personally.
Yeah. I mean, this is one of those movies where I feel like it was a tight 90 or 93 minutes long. And I could have used like 10 more minutes to like flesh out some things or maybe not cut some of the stuff. Like I loved all the action sequences. So you don't have to cut those. Those were sick. Those were so sick.
Yeah. Wait. Those are the best part.
Those were so good. I know. But like also I want to like care a little bit about the people a little bit more. But we don't have to sacrifice. Just add 10 more minutes. Add 10 more minutes. Keep everything else. And maybe less cops. Like we did the fuck you Kevin joke like so many times. Or Kyle. Fuck you, Kyle.
And I liked the fuck you, Kyle joke. And I liked that when we were in the police station, you saw in the background that it was like, don't solve crime till overtime. Like, I thought that they did some of it in a funny way. But I'm here for a Dracula movie. I'm so not here for a crime procedural movie. You know what I mean? Like,
it just got lost in the sauce with that.
Yeah, it felt very strange. And it also felt incredibly strange to be like, she's one cop up against a broken system. Like, what can she do? And then at the end, obviously, a lot of the cops who were bad are dead now. But it's like, actually, she can arrest the crime boss. And it's like, can she? Like, why is she able to now? I mean, other than like...
Well, maybe because all other cops are dead? I don't fucking know.
It still feels like she's gonna walk eventually. You know what I mean? It didn't feel like she actually had gained any real agency or like she... It felt like it was gonna be the same sort of cycle from the beginning where she did arrest Teddy Lobo. She did bring him in. She didn't have any trouble with that part, just like arresting the mom at the end. But is that going to lead to anything meaningful? Like, personally, I don't think that they really set up that it would.
Yeah, maybe it has the FBI involved at the end, so they're not as dirty, hopefully, as we thought, dear God. But yeah, I think that doesn't make sense. Another thing that they like set up but like went nowhere is the fact that like Teddy Lobo is actually a little baby bitch and he doesn't have the like bloodthirst behind him, you know? Because like he comes to like his mom is like, you need to get your hands dirty. I need to know that like you're going to be as fucked up nasty as I am in her sexy voice. Oh, I love that woman's voice. She could say anything to me and I would listen and be really scared the whole time. Anyway, moving on.
She's the best. I love her. More of her, less cops.
Agree. Yeah, she was very cool. And I was like, we love a lady mob boss, girl boss. Gaslight, gatekeep, whatever, fuck, I said it in the wrong order.
But like her and Dracula's relationship, more of that.
Yes, if they're gonna include these little romance moments, give us the romance, baby. Like they should smash. Rebecca and Renfield should like have a something at some point, even if it's just like a hand touch. We know how powerful a hand touch can be. I haven't actually seen that Pride and Prejudice, but everybody else in the world has. And I've seen the gifs, so I know. But I don't know. It just felt like there were some really unfulfilled promises here.
Yeah, like they have that whole thing with Teddy Lobo where he comes in and he like can't shoot Awkwafina in the forehead because she's like, you need to shoot me. Like she's like, shoot me. I know you can't do it. Blah, 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 blah. He like maybe was gonna do it. But then like immediately after he's confronted with Dracula, he's just like killing everyone and ripping their arms off and lighting them on fire and blah, blah, blah. He doesn't light anyone on fire. But like he just like has no remorse immediately. And maybe that's the... like
the Dracula in him,
the Dracula familiar superpowers coming out. But like I don't know, he just was like, they're like, are they gonna make him redeeming? And then they're like, no, JK, no, he's just Benchport, so you want to like him.
No.
Yeah, I mean, I on the second watch I was thinking about that, and I do feel like Renfield says to Rebecca something like, he taps into what you think that you want. So like if he wanted to be bloodthirsty and he wanted to have that quality in himself, but he didn't have it previously, it could be like that was what Dracula like gave to him, basically.
Okay, yeah, he wanted to live up to his family's reputation.
But I agree. I also thought it was like a kind of a weird turn to be like, because here was the thing. Before he couldn't even pull the trigger on a gun, which is like obviously a very impersonal way to kill somebody. You don't have to hardly do anything at all. And so if he's like prepared to be a killer and to have people killed, it felt weird to have him be shy on this way that is literally so hands-off as opposed to the racist hitman from the beginning who is like cutting people's tongues out and like knifing people and blah blah blah, but then for him to be so hands-on at the end, like I don't know, if you're gonna give a character such a big turnaround and it feels so related to their character to have them have a previous quality, it's nice when you can like see where that change comes from, and we didn't really see where it came from here.
Yeah, I wanna know what they deleted. Oh shoot, the dance scene I think is on YouTube.
Okay, good. Wow. Apparently, that came right after the first fight in the restaurant where Awkwafina shows up after she's like found the pen at the crime scene. And she's
oh,
like,
when he
going
finds
to...
out he's a hero, or
yeah,
when she
and
says
she's
he's
like...
a hero.
Teddy Lobo walks in with his wolf mask and all of his henchmen and wolf masks. And she's like, I just came here to connect you to a crime scene and you came in here and made it one, Teddy Lobo, or whatever she says to him.
That was so funny.
After that,
is he throwing drugs in our face? Cocaine just explodes.
Oh my God. I want us to pause recording so bad so I can watch this right now. It's all I can think about.
That's fine with me. Should we take a little breaky break?
I want to watch it. I just sent you guys the link.
Okay. Let's
all watch it.
Live reaction response.
Is he singing?
I don't know.
No.
Oh.
This is so funny.
Okay. They should have absolutely kept this in. It was 2 minutes. 2 minutes less cops. More of this.
This gives more of the like new, like the Nola feel with the like, oh my God. What am I seeing? Sorry. I got distracted. Oh my God. He's dancing with people in bug costumes.
Oh, the body roll.
Wow. What kind of bug is that? Where was this supposed to be again? Like in the movie?
It's supposed to be in Nola. That's my question. Did they fucking shoot this in Nola?
Café du Monde and that square area like looked right to me. And I'm pretty sure they did shoot in New Orleans. But yeah, they really didn't take advantage of the location. And like the shout out to Café du Monde felt really out of place just to be like, yeah, see, we're here. A landmark.
They did so, they really didn't work with that enough because yeah, that cafe that they're in where all the murdering things happen, what is it called, like Mulatti's
or something like that.
Oh, Mulatti's. Oh, it was like mutilates, that's what it looked like to me. That had like a spooky that vibe, you know. And then I guess the when Renfield goes and like shows off his powers for the first time when he's getting some of the group members' shitty boyfriends that stole all the cocaine, I guess that's like where they keep the floats. Is that what that was? That prop studio they're in where there's like that shark?
I thought that was just their fun ska art studio.
I don't know.
It's probably where they keep all the Mardi Gras parade floats.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking because I was like, why the fuck? Like, where are we not commenting on the fact that there's all this crazy cool shit in here? And we're like, oh, I was like, okay, I guess we're not commenting on it. But yeah, I feel like this, at least this dance sequence, Def should have stayed in, but it at least gives you the vibe of like, I mean, Sydney, you've been there more recently, but like the like street, what are they called? Like the people like walk down the street and they dance around. There's
second line parades.
People say it again.
Second line parades.
Yes. A little bit of that. A bug version with Renfield.
They just need little umbrella things.
Yeah.
Also, I don't know if I pronounced that restaurant name right earlier, but apparently it's a real restaurant, but it doesn't have like a scary guy hanging over it in the pictures, as far as I can tell. But Sydney, to answer your question, what I was saying before was that the dance scene comes after that first big fight scene in the cafe when she shows up and then Teddy Lobo shows up. And then Renfield is, it's like right after the busload of cheerleaders arrives. And it makes sense that this is like, your love is lifting me higher. He's just met her and she's been like, you're a hero. And he's like, they have that like moment where it's like shimmering, sparkling. There's something in the air. Which makes me wonder, like, did they cut a lot more of like romance-y stuff because the chemistry was just so not there? And test audiences maybe were like, no, like, I wonder if there really was stuff that ended up on the cutting room floor romance storyline wise.
This would have been so cute.
This would have at least added like the feeling of it for him, less so for her. But
I would have
loved
a horror
rom-com,
though.
It's his motivation.
I know. I would have loved a horror. I was thinking we were getting a horror rom-com because I was like, Chelsea was like, are they going to be a thing? And I was like, well, I'm here for it. And then I was like, okay, didn't really totally materialize.
Okay, here's the thing. I Googled and all I can find is that in the original book, his name was like R.M. Renfield. Not if the R.M. stood for anything, but in the movie, his name is Robert Montague Renfield. Montague famously one of the names from Romeo and Juliet. Yes. And then they showed her dad's plaque at one point, and we weren't close enough to the TV to read it, and it didn't say Capulet on there, but I was like, maybe it says Capulet on there, and this is like a Romeo Juliet thing. And then there's like that moment in the other fight scene later when all the police show up at his apartment where like he does extend a hand up to her on the balcony, and I was like, it's the balcony scene from Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah, I remember what you said.
And I guess it wasn't, but there is a reference with her dad's name because if you recall from Romeo, or not from Romeo and Juliet, if you recall from Bram Stoker's Dracula, the Western cowboy guy, his name is Quincy Morris, And Rebecca's dad's name in this movie is Morris Quincy. So they're referencing it.
Yeah, so she's and he Rebecca dies.
Quincy. Yeah.
And he dies. Wow. It was fated.
And he's like the only American character. So it's like she's the like American in the tale now.
Okay. All right. I like that. They did a lot of cute winks. I appreciate that. Maybe I should have done research on this one and would have had a fun time.
Well, you can research it later and still enjoy yourself.
But I won't.
She's like, no.
That's okay. I'll send you the one like Screen Rant article that lists a bunch of potential references and you'll go, oh. Yeah.
Oh,
just like that. Yeah. There you go.
What if there had been, imagine for a moment, a dance sequence with Nicolas Cage as Dracula?
What if they'd had this dance sequence to show the love that Renfield has for Rebecca that sprouted out of nowhere, and then they had an additional dance sequence when Dracula meets Mafia Mommy and she like does the hair tuck behind her ear? They could have had a little moment there where suddenly they have a song and dance about love at first sight.
I would have loved that.
That would have been great. Or I think it could have been really awesome if like the part when Renfield like comes back to Dracula's lair and Dracula's been hard at work planning world domination and he explains it with a song and a dance. Mm. That could have been really great.
This should be a musical. Yeah.
As well. This should have been a musical. They've opened the door for this to have been a musical and I will not shut it. I'm blowing the door wide open. It's a musical now.
Put it on Broadway right now.
Seriously. We haven't gotten enough Dracula musical. We only got a little bit in Forgetting Sarah Marshall, and I need more.
There's a Dracula musical in Forgetting Sarah Marshall?
Oh, yeah.
Or it's like Van Helsing when it's the puppets. He's got the puppets.
Oh, fuck. God, it's been a cool decade since I've seen that movie. So I forgot that part. But I did see, what's his name? Jason Segel. Is that his name? Okay.
Yeah.
I saw him on the street one time.
Ooh.
While I was riding my bike and I rode by and I said, I love your work. And then I kept going.
I love your work.
And then I was like, that was so lame of me, but he didn't seem too scared. So I think it was fine.
Mm-hmm. I think it was fine.
God, I just feel like something's been stolen from me now. Now that I've seen the dance sequence, I feel like I've been robbed.
I will say, I feel like we're doing a lot of complaining, and I think all of our complaints are extremely fair and valid and needed to be said, but it was a very fun movie overall.
It was so fun. It was a joy. I really had a great time. I was laughing out loud. I was guffawing. I was hysterical one time. Don't know
why. We don't get enough like stupid movies anymore that are just like, you know what I mean? Like studios don't want to spend the money on it. And
on the mid-budget silly goofy.
And what if we're just in a silly goofy mood?
I think with the current affairs of everything, we deserve silly goofy mood movies.
For sure.
Agree. I love a little comic, like gratuitous violence. There's that way to use blood splurting to be very funny, and they do it super well here. I love that. A guy blew up. That luchador guy came and they shot his head through a wall. That was very exciting and unexpected.
Punched it right off. Yeah.
Punched his head right off.
I loved the gag where Renfield comes home to his apartment. Well, I love his whole apartment makeover, first of all. How many so inspirational posters he has on the wall as well. And I love the sequence of him like making friends with his neighbors, and he's done with the bugs, and so he has his room for one more, and he like lets his little ant crawl into the ant farm. But I loved when Renfield comes home to his apartment and Dracula is there because he bought a welcome mat that says welcome, come on in. And so like so Dracula funny. Could go right. I thought that was
that
a
was
great
so,
funny little reveal.
That was
such a good
funny.
Gag. So funny. And also just Nick Cage is so hilarious in this. Like one of my favorite quotes, he's like, it's not, don't make this about gender. Like,
yeah.
It's you, not about,
I mean, I like boys and girls.
It was an
it's
incredible gag.
Purity.
Incredible gag as a whole for him to be like, all I'm asking for is like happy couples, some tourists, maybe nuns, a bus full of cheerleaders, and then when Renfield shows up to that cafe, like, all those things happen, including the bus full of cheerleaders. Like, that was very fun and funny.
That's hilarious.
They did a lot of good stuff like that. I loved at the end when Rebecca made the protection circle out of cocaine. I thought that was great.
That was so funny.
Oh, good. She's like, I loved when she was like, yeah, I got it off of some Wiccan Tumblr. Shout out to our Tumblr girlies.
That's me. Shout out to me and all of my little Tumblr friends. Yeah.
Exactly. It's important. Like
Wiccan Tumblr is powerful.
So many ways. It really is.
Sometimes people are stealing bones, and sometimes people are giving you the ingredients you need for a protection spell to stop Dracula. So.
Oh man, there's so much to love in it, and I just think it was it was too unfocused. It had too many things that you're supposed to care about.
Yeah,
like we care about Renfield rehabbing himself, but now I care about Awkwafina and her relationship with her sister, and they're all these dirty cops, and also her dad died, and also this, and I'm just like. I don't care about those things. Sorry. What were you going to say, Sydney?
There wasn't enough support group.
Yeah. Yes. They were great.
They were
the gag of Carol getting cut off is funny.
The what? Sorry.
The gag with Carol continuously getting cut off.
Oh. Yes. Carol. I was like, Carol, I feel you, girl. Like.
And I loved Caitlin at the beginning. And then we see her like having margaritas with that other girl who's. Boyfriend apparently Doug and Mitch worked together. And I'm wondering who introduced who when they started double dating. But I'm glad that they can celebrate their boyfriend's disappearances either way. And I loved when the cops showed up. She was like, I hope he's dead. I hope he got chopped into little bits. I probably shouldn't be saying this, but I don't care. I thought that was great.
She's finally free. Thank God.
She's finally free.
But all of them dying was so funny.
I was so sad. I was like, I'm legitimately so upset. Like, all of his boyos and girlos, they're all just fucking ripped to shreds. And Dracula's not even drinking their blood. He just was doing it.
Wasteful.
It was so wasteful. Bad time to do a slow motion fall through the air, Renfield. Should have done a fast motion fall through the air.
Yeah, Monica was like, why is he falling so slow?
I was like, come on, man. Move get to faster. The ground already.
I'm glad they did come back at the end. I did think a little bit the Dracula's blood can bring back everybody from the dead was like a little convenient. That probably is real lore because I feel like the whole Dracula exchange is like to turn you into a vampire. You have to drink vampire blood. And I thought it worked with the stakes for the sister because when they were like, we've got your sister, I was like, why would they keep her alive? Like, that doesn't make any sense. And then they hadn't. And so I was like, okay, fair enough. There you go. I'm glad the whole support group came back. It would have been so sad if they didn't.
Yeah, because then we got the whole, you know, we saw things. We know things that we shouldn't have known.
Thank
you.
That's funny I was too.
Like, that we could never unsee. They're like, is that guy okay?
But that also made me feel like, what was the deal with Rebecca's sister then? Like, was she not fully dead? Because she was like, what was it? Like an herbal remedy? So like, did she not see beyond the veil the way that everybody else did? Was she not dead long enough?
Way less long of a time.
Sure.
Those people had been dead for like a day.
Crazy that their bodies were just left there. And he could just come back with his pitcher of blood. And there was so much left in the pitcher still.
Yeah, that's so funny. It was set out with all the shitty snacks. It's so funny.
I loved the montage of all the different ways that they killed him.
Yeah, that was fun. It did feel, again, a little bloodlusty from Rebecca, who previously had been like, I don't have that same bloodlust. I just have lust for revenge. She was like, I'm not out here killing people just because I'm angry. But also, I feel like of anybody to take out your anger on. And he had a good justification for it, where he's like, I mean, there's so many different stories of ways to kill Dracula. We had to try them all.
No, that makes total sense. You don't want to fuck around and then find out with Dracula. Mm-hmm. Like, you gotta be thorough and turn him into cement ice cubes.
But she's got so much, like, glee on her face when she realizes that she can, like, take a mace and use it against him, you know?
I probably would too.
Yeah, it just felt interesting for her to take so much glee in it when that was not her revenge storyline. Like, her revenge storyline was about the crime and the cops, you know what I mean? And so, like, she didn't take any pleasure in any of those fights or anything like that. And not that she's, like, sympathetic to Dracula at all, but he was, I don't know, it just felt like a little... misplaced character-wise, but totally right for the movie, I guess.
She was bonding with her boyfriend. Different when you kill her boyfriend. She liked him back. Well, she put her hair down and went with him to the thing, so her hair was down finally, which was a relief because the low bun is a hard look for anyone to rock. Awkwafina is a beautiful woman. The low bun is difficult. It's not flattering to many people.
Except you can rock the low bun. I do it all the time.
Good for you. Yeah, it looks good on you. Okay, but I was like, Awkwafina, take it out of the low bun.
Yeah.
Let her be the beautiful queen that she is.
I really like Awkwafina's thing. I'm very entertained by it most of the time. I usually think it's pretty funny. Unfortunately, I have only really ever seen that one thing from her. And it just felt like they kind of weren't using it to its full appeal here, and she was like not really giving character outside of that much. But she did do some funny stuff. Like, I liked when in the first conversation with her sister, when she's like walking down the hallway and she keeps like stopping and squeaking with her little shoes and turning around and like going and like stopping and squeaking again. Like, that was a funny little moment.
Yeah,
I feel like she had fun.
She definitely had fun. I do want to comment on the collab of Dracula and the mob family, because I just think it's so funny. It's so genius. And I can't believe he can make so many familiars. Of course he has limitless power, but I just didn't think about it. Why wouldn't he already have limitless familiars if he could make
familiars? Right, why would he only have one?
I guess it's hard to deal with a lot of employees. So I understand that, I guess. But yeah, I mean, that was a great reveal when all the fucking mob boss baddies had golden eyes and were eating bugs out the wazoo. But like, I really liked the fight scene with Teddy, what's his name? Teddy Lobo. I kept trying to say John Ralphio Saperstein. It's really hard for me to not say it. But his death was the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life. It was so spectacular. I died.
Yeah. And I mean, I loved his reveal as a familiar where he was like, oh, and I've met you, right? You look a little familiar. And he snorts the caterpillar or whatever Not caterpillar. Millipede.
Yeah.
No, that I wasn't counting. Yeah.
Fucking iconic. That was so iconic.
He was maybe one of the best parts of this movie, for sure.
I totally agree.
He was so funny.
He was spectacular. I just love looking at him. But
cute, for sure. And with all the tattoos.
Yes.
Serving love.
The slick back hair. Mm-hmm. When Renfield fucking gave him that death blow, though, and it turns into an X-ray, and you see every bone in his body.
And he starts shooting himself.
And he just expels it.
A cloud of shit. Oh, yes. Yes, 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 yes.
It was gorgeous.
It's so beautiful.
Yeah, oh, I mean, man. It was really clear that they had a lot of fun with a lot of aspects of making this movie. I wish there had been some things that had a little bit more emotional support.
Yeah. Yeah, we're on the same
page. Either go full fun and leave the dance sequence in, or like give me the build out if you're trying to like tone it down in some areas.
Yeah,
and make it more
totally
serious or whatever.
Yeah, what they were going for was a little confused. I feel like they got turned around in the middle, maybe a little earlier than the middle. But is there anything else we want to talk about in the main movie before we move on to our segments?
I don't know, but there were some fun IMDb trivia pieces that I liked.
Oh yeah, trivia time. Let's go.
I mean, they weren't necessarily all like super relevant, which is probably why I thought they were so funny. But one of them was just like, Nicolas Cage owns several castles. And another one was like, I mean, good for him. Very Dracula of him. Another one was,
he lives that life.
Mm-hmm. Nicolas Cage lived in a haunted castle for 1 year to write a horror script. And once he finished, his laptop was broken. Which is its own little horror story.
Wow. In one sentence. That's a two-sentence horror if I've ever heard one.
But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of good stuff in there. I think it's fun. I think there's a lot of great references. You can look at IMDb trivia yourself for more references. Dracula's whole thing with wolves we know exists because he turns into a big wolf creature in Bram Stoker's Dracula, and like Lobo is Spanish for wolf, so like their collab, their partnership was like fated, you know.
That's so much cool. I love that. That's a great one.
But yeah, there's lots of little stuff. They definitely enjoyed making a Dracula vampire movie, and they explored that in a lot of different ways for sure.
Beautiful. Okay, well, I think it's time for our segment. So as we always ask, how could this movie be gayer? I feel like we were owed a canonically gay character in this movie. Come on, it's 2023 and this is a Dracula movie, but you know, we do have Dracula himself, known by King.
I wanted to see a Dracula Renfield sex scene.
That would have been a different film, for sure, but a very powerful film, probably.
I wanted it.
What are you envisioning?
I don't know.
You're like, I'm not the writer.
When they were talking about, we had all those good times, just like a montage of them. Oh,
like one of the parts of the montage is them just like clapping cheeks. I think that would have been great. I mean, again, he says canonically, I'll eat boys, I'll eat girls. No, either one works for me. I think Renfield himself, also bisexual king. I think
all those years together, I'm sorry, not even once wrong.
We talked about this a lot. When you live that long, at some point you get curious for sure about new experiences, at the very least.
How lame would that be if you live for a million years and you never stay straight anything.
Every time?
If you stay like, straight from boring. I can't imagine.
I don't believe it. I don't buy it. I think, you know, just statistically.
Look at us erasing straight people.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I guess. Because, like, if you know you're gay from a young age, statistically, if you live long enough, are you ever going to try not being gay? Like, probably some people are like, no, have no interest in that.
Yeah, but I just can't imagine it.
But again, I don't know. If you live for so long, why not?
If you live for so long through so many different periods of moral standards and different phases of society where there's all kinds of different stuff going on, I just feel like eventually at some point circumstances are going to be right, that someone's going to come into the picture or some scenario is going to come into the picture that presents an opportunity. And you're not going to turn it down. You're going to explore a little.
So are you saying that if, as a society, we lived forever, eventually it would become a homosexual utopia?
No, because I think, unfortunately, you know, we make a little progress, we take a few steps back.
You're right.
But at some point, there'd be a very gay,
to feel
at
joy.
Some point, ancient Rome would recreate itself, you know what I mean? Where everybody's smashing.
Damn. We're born at the wrong time.
But yeah, I mean, again, lots of bisexual people for sure. The support group is called Drag, and like maybe they meant that as in like, isn't it a drag to be in a toxic codependent relationship? But I take it as doing drag. So you know,
to
it would have been fun
with your
to
toxic relationship. Yeah.
Yeah, like reclaim your power, do a little drag queen moment. He has his makeover. They could have done something right in there, where he's trying out a bunch of different looks. But alas, no. But that we could have gotten that. We could have.
We're so close. Damn. Yeah, but you know, I felt satisfied with knowing that Nikki's bi. That's really important to me. That's what's most important to me.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Then it's time to talk about where would Matthew Lillard fit into this film. And I think that he would have been a great person in the support group for sure.
Mm-hmm.
He could have been
Stu in the support group talking about how Billy's controlling him. You know what I mean? Like, he could have just, like, channeled that energy right in there.
Yes. That would have been funny. That would have been a very funny horror nod. Another little Easter egg for horror.
A little
fans.
Cameo.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love that. That's ideal.
Wow, that
would
have been so funny.
Or I would have loved him to see him take off one of those cool. I really liked those, like, tiger. Or I guess they're supposed to be wolf masks, but they looked like lions to me. The wolf masks they were wearing that were made of, like, burlap sacks. I thought they were cool. Anyway, well, imagine one of those guys takes it off and it's Matthew Lillard. And then his arms
get ripped
off.
He could have been one of the cheerleaders or one of the nuns.
Wow, Matthew Lillard is a nun.
I think he could pull it off. He's got what it takes.
Okay, wait. Actually, dear listeners, we have breaking news. And I can't believe I didn't think about this immediately. I want to give the shout out to the right person, though. So give me one second.
I think
it's Amanda. Yeah, it's Amanda. Amanda, who just won our contest that we did. I was chatting with her after her big win. And she shared just so casually that she met Matthew Lillard at a con recently back in March and told him about Spooky Tuesday and about this segment. And he laughed and was like, I will check it out. So Matthew, as an avid listener, how does it make you feel?
Matthew, where would you put yourself in the film? Obviously, I assume you're listening to all episodes now. I don't know if you're starting from the beginning. Maybe it'll take you a while to get here, but we'd love to, if you just want to write back and tell us what role you take in all 135
yeah, we need to know
we've done so far, just
drop
like a casual little message.
If you're nervous to say hi to us, we're not as unhinged as we seem.
That's a lie. We absolutely are. It's probably even worse.
I feel like we're less unhinged than we seem.
No.
We're like nice, normal girls.
No, we're not.
I reject normal as something to describe me that makes me feel upset, but I would not, like, if you feel like
none of us are nice,
like,
normal girls,
attack
so
you
sorry.
Or something like that, we would never do that. We're very nice in that regard. I would never. We just love you. You know what I mean?
I'm
it's
nice
fine. So just relax. But anyway, it's just like literally was shocking to me, and she said it so casually, and I'm just like, Amanda, you've rocked my world. So Amanda, thank you. And if you ever meet Matthew Lillard, dear listener, please continue to remind him. Maybe if enough people tell him about Spooky Tuesday, he'll actually listen and he'll actually drop us a line, and then we will die and the podcast will end.
Matthew Lillard, love us.
But yeah, I love him as a member of the support group for this one. I think that's a perfect spot. Well, that brings us to Dumb Bitch, which is an interesting one for this one. Who is the dumb bitch?
All the cops.
The cops. Yeah, that's actually very easy. Kyle. He's not even the worst
one. Yeah, it's also the head guy who gets his head cut off. Yeah. I feel like you got into bed with the mob and now you think you can be like, deuces, I'm out. Like, I feel like that's not how it works with the mob or the mafia or whatever they're calling themselves, a gang. You can't just be like, sorry, notoriously evil crime boss who clearly has sway with everybody in our precinct, can walk in and walk out. I don't want to be part of this arrangement anymore. Like, I don't know now why you think it's actually up to you.
Well, he was trying to, he had been going to some drag meetings and he was trying to take agency in his life. And how dare you shame him in that moment for finally leaving, but then his head got chopped off by Dracula. That's a factor that you can't account for, really. Yeah, I think the cops, though, I think particularly I want to nominate the cop that was Awkwafina's partner.
That was because he ratted dirty. On her.
Yeah, that was extra dirty. Fuck that guy.
She was like, did you call it in? And he was like, yeah, because he called it into the bad people.
Bad, 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 no good. No, because Renfield's perfect, even though he does a lot of bad things. And Dracula.
He's still a good boy.
He's a good boy at heart. And Dracula.
Mitch can be a dumb bitch also, or Doug, the ska guys from the beginning.
Oh my god, all the ska stuff was so funny.
I do like ska. I'm not engaged with ska, but I enjoy it.
I feel like dating somebody who loves ska is like such a pivotal moment in everybody's lives. Like, have y'all been through that? I have.
I had a crush on a guy who loved ska. He worked, it was like when I was in high school and he worked for like my dad's company and I would like go over there a lot and his name was Jeff and I loved Jeff and I thought his friends were really cool and he taught me how to ska dance.
There's that one ska band, Me First and the Gimme Gimmies, that does all the ska covers of like Goodbye Earl and like all those other diva songs and stuff like that. I think it's very fun. I'm pro ska. I'm coming out as pro ska.
I love horns. Okay.
She said it's actually so much more complicated than just having horns and everything. She said it, Caitlin.
And she was like, God, listen to me.
Shout out to all the ska crushes. Chelsea, have you had a ska crush?
I didn't have a ska crush, but I had ska online friends. Which is the same for me.
But here's the thing, you could still do it. It could still happen.
It's not
for
too
you.
Late.
It's not too late for a
shout
ska
out
crush.
To Kelsey. Kelsey loved ska. And so I got a little into ska.
Shout out to DJ, my first boyfriend, who loved ska.
There you go. But yeah, I mean, I think they're good nominees because they stole so many drugs from drug dealers. Yeah, and they didn't really seem to have a good plan for A, what to do with the drugs, B, what to do when confronted by the hitman that they knew was after them.
Yeah.
And then they laughed when Renfield was like, I'm a friend of Caitlin's. Like, okay, actually, you're about to get your ass kicked, so I hope you think it's funny. Yeah. So...
fucking dare. Yeah, no, those are good. I think it's a tie between those boys and the cops for dummies. Okay, works that brings us to our knives out of fives. So what is the critical reception of Renfield thus far?
You know, it's interesting. On IMDb, this movie got 6.4 out of 10. And then on Rotten Tomatoes, from critics, it got 57%, which is rotten. But audiences thought it was fresh 79%, which is like a 20 percentage point difference, which is pretty huge. So a lot of people seem to think that it was fun. But again, it does seem like maybe some people thought there were elements missing to the movie, which I would say we would kind of agree with both of those points, it seems like.
Yeah, I know. I'm totally with you there. It was a really fun romp, but it just like didn't stick the landing for me. Ugh. But it was still so good. I still had a really good time. Like, I'd probably watch it again with a movie enhancing supplement. I feel like that was a key missing element from my watch experience.
Yeah.
I feel like this would be fun, like if they ever put it on Cinespia. I wish I had seen this in the theater on opening weekend.
Like in a crowd. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I would have loved to see this in the theater on opening weekend. And I had planned to, but, you know, sometimes
it just doesn't work out
just
that
doesn't
way.
Work out like that.
But yeah, if we know. Did like your little outdoor setup that you're doing and like a movie going supplement and like a group of friends, I think that could really slap.
That would be so fun, actually.
It'd be so fun. I thought about setting that up for last night, but I don't know how to make a fire. And I felt like maybe it would still be cold at night. And so
sure.
I gotta get my Eagle Scout boyfriend to teach me how to build a fire, and then I can do anything. Or I could just Google it. I'll just Google it. Yeah, I don't need him.
I've always said I'm an Eagle Scout by association, so I feel like I could figure it out.
Yeah, I mean, if it's do or die, you're dating an Eagle Scout.
My brother's an Eagle Scout. Like between the two of us, I think.
Yeah, I mean, we've got this. TP, we'll make a little TP. Easy, done. I don't know if I want to score it first because I want to base my score off of yours.
I mean, I'll go first. I'd give it like a solid 3.3 knives out of fives because I did think it was very fun. I thought it had a lot of solid jokes. It could have been more fun at the very least by including a scene that we know that they filmed, the dance sequence.
Yeah.
But there was a lot to like here. And I don't think it needed to be a serious movie. It's just like that if they wanted to have that like emotional moment of like Rebecca being seduced into like wanting to save her sister, blah, 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 her whole motivation has been family. Like they could have built that out a little more. So they could have made it better, but it was still very fun. I'd watch it again.
Totally.
I agree. I'm going to do a 3.5 out of five. I want to see more Nicolas Cage as Dracula, and I want to see his bare butt in a sex scene. I want more smut in this movie and less cops. That's what I want in everything. More smut, less cops.
Words to live by, honestly. I'm right with you, Sydney. 3.5 for me, too. I'm giving it that extra 0.2 because of Nicolas Cage's beautiful, flawless performance. No notes. Incredible. 10 out of 10. He is my god.
Even with the bad teeth.
Yeah, he rocked him. He made him work for him, you know? And we gotta love him for that. I think that closes the book on Renfield then. I don't need to see anyone eat another bug.
Sure. Snorting another bug, I would watch more of that.
Yeah. I would cringe again though, for sure.
But it was great. I mean, I loved it.
Chelsea, I think you should do the introductory for this one because Fifth Tuesday is your baby. And
Fifth
also
Tuesday is my baby. And I also think I was
that you're next in the line of us switching off announcing movies. So there you go. Sure.
I mean, we don't have to switch off every time, but I'm happy to introduce it. We do have a Fifth Tuesday coming up next week. And if you don't remember what that means, it's when there's a Fifth Tuesday in a month, it's a bonus because usually there's only four. So that means we get to do whatever movie we want. It doesn't have to be a spooky movie. And next week, we're doing something very special. It's not quite Pride yet, but this episode is going to drop like one day before Pride Month starts. So we thought, why not kick things off with a bang, a seminal gay classic? We will be doing 1999's But I'm a Cheerleader, which I first watched on HBO Demand in middle school. This movie was so formative.
I saw Cheerleader
in the movie title and I was like, click. I didn't know what I was getting in. But it probably made us gay. So
yeah, I blame this movie.
Wow. That's fucking awesome. Well, I was not a cheerleader, so maybe that's why I never watched this as a youth. But maybe. I watched it for the first time like 2 years ago and it still blew my mind. So I'm really excited to do this. Starting off Pride the gayest way possible. I mean, it's the whole music video for Silk Chiffon is based off of this movie, so that says enough.
Really, well, we're absolutely really gonna be singing that next week.
Oh, of course, get ready for a beautiful rendition of Silk Chiffon, people. We're like Muna, there's three of us.
Wow.
We're just like Muna.
I met them one time, so I would know. We're just like Muna. Okay. Well, why not write in a 5-star review? Yeah, you're right. You are just like Muna. And that would make us feel really good. Or maybe if you're Matthew Lillard, write a 5-star review and say, I'm Matthew Lillard and I approve of your podcast. Good job. I'm not freaked out at all.
No pressure.
Yeah. right? This doesn't scare me even a little bit. Very comfortable with it. Thank you. That would be a really good 5-star review. Consider it, Matthew. I think I wrote it for you. It was really well written. Why not?
If I were him, I would be like, oh, so convenient. Well, let me just.
Oh my God. Wait, let me just rewind real quick. Got it. And why not follow us on social media while you're at it? We just had an amazing contest. There could be another contest on the horizon. You don't know. You better follow us right now so you don't miss it. We're at Spooky_Tuesday on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter. Also on YouTube, too. So the subscribers just keep going up and up. Wow. And follow us on Tumblr and Facebook at Spooky Tuesday Pod. And we are at Spooky Tuesday on Letterboxd. And as I've said every day for my entire life, even when it's not Tuesday, I say thank you for listening. See you next Tuesday.
Bye, spookies.
You were right. Success is the best revenge.
Touché, my chérie.
Au revoir, bitch.
Spooky Tuesday was created by Monica Height, Sydney Thompson, and Chelsea Duff, and edited by Sydney Thompson. Our gorgeously spooky tunes are all thanks to Tamra Simons, who you can follow on Instagram at Captain Tamra, and our podcast art is by Mary Murphy, who you can find on Instagram at the_moon_OMG.